There are several moments when heaven wants to orchestrate an intervention, and God requires the participation of men. What he does is that he quickens a summon. A summon is an invitation. A summon is a call to come up to the realm of God so that he can occasion visibility from his perspective. There are times when God wants you to see things from his perspective. And in those times, if you do not come up, you'll be seeing things from circumstances. And you will not have the authority, the ability to change the trend. My prayer is that when he calls you, when he summons you, you will answer him. I can only tell you my own personal experience of being summoned. Nothing will interest me, so I know God is calling for my attention. The moment I yield, he begins to speak to me. This is the current diary I'm using. Every year, I have a diary. But this is the one I began to use from last year. Because when he summons me, he speaks. He speaks. He speaks to me. Sometimes I feel it's so, my house is so noisy. So I say, okay, I want to go book for a hotel. Many times my wife follows me. But when I encounter what I encounter alone. It's not as if she's not in the mood of prayer, but I'm the one that was summoned. When he begins to speak, then I begin to write. The whole direction in my life changes the moment I respond to a summon from heaven. I pray again for you that when he calls, you will yield to him. In the name of Jesus Christ. You may be seated. Turn your Bible to the book of Revelation, chapter number 5, as we still unveil things that you are likely to find when you begin to interface with the layer of God. In the book of Revelation 5, verse 1, the Bible says, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?'" When you begin to interface with God's realm, you are going to stumble upon a reality. And that's what the Bible calls seals. The kingdom of God happens to be a kingdom that operates by mysteries, by secrets. There are several things that are held secret. If it's in security terminology, we will say that those things are classified. There are many classified things in the kingdom of God. And part of what God does is that he makes these things classified, makes them secret, so that they don't come to common knowledge and so that they are not accessible by the kingdom of darkness. I think I need to open our eyes to a few scriptures before we come back to talk about seals. There is a documentation that exists before the presence of God about your destiny, and it will interest you to know that your destiny is a secret. And that any man that does not labor to stumble into the secret of his destiny will live natural life. Methuselah so far has been the man that has been given the opportunity to see so many days upon the face of the earth. 969 years Methuselah lived, and the only achievement that he brought to the earth was that he gave birth to sons and daughters. It is possible for you just to live out your natural possibility. But unfortunately, that is not the reason for which you are apprehended. That's not why you were born, and that's not why you are apprehended in Christ Jesus. There is something to your life much more than the schools you went, the friends you met along the way, your discipline, your job. Your life is sealed. You will need to make effort in order for you to enter into the sealed things of your life. In fact, you are not likely to be able to explain the circle of warfare that ravages your destiny if you don't understand the sealed things about your life. In seeking and watching for the movements of God, we must be taught how to break seals. Are you still with me? Well, I need to do just a rounded Bible study so that I can expose you to a few scriptures that support what I'm trying to teach in order to legitimize it before we begin to engage. So I may need to invite us to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. And if you are there, say amen. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with the excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. I don't have time to touch that scripture. It's my favorite, one of my favorite. If I enter there, we'll get lost. So I will avoid it. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So pay attention now. Verse 6. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. The word perfect here is ancient English, which means mature. It means that there are several things that we cannot communicate to babes. It will not mean sense to them. We speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. Trying to inform us of the fact that there are planes and levels of wisdom. We have demonic wisdom is acknowledged here. We have human wisdom is acknowledged here. And we have the divine wisdom is also acknowledged here. And the difference between divine wisdom and any other source of wisdom is that any other source of wisdom comes to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. So the wisdom of God is classified. It's part of the tools, the utensils found in the kingdom of God that makes it difficult for the devil to win a battle against God, because these secret things of which we speak were kept secret before Satan was created. So even though Satan might have been around, he knows the throne room, he has heard some of the declarations of God, he has seen the power of God manifest. Unfortunately for Satan, Satan is a created being. And there were several things that took place in the eternities of God that Satan has no knowledge of. And in fact, if God wants to pedestal you, to advance your life, what he does is that he unveils to you one of those things he kept secret. The entire Bible is a collection of the miscalculations of the enemy, because the devil doesn't have the knowledge that he needs in order to prosecute effectively the battle that he's engaging. In fact, Satan doesn't know your thoughts. He needs to put you in circumstances that will provoke you to speak. Then he goes to update his data bank. I hope you know that weapons are formed. The weapons of Satan are formed against us. Oh, this my class is not ready, so let's leave that. When I notice you are here, then we'll travel a little more. But if you are not here, what we'll do is we'll allow you navigate through the wilderness one more time. By the time you come back, if we want to teach, you'll be willing. You'll be willing to. Hallelujah. So the Bible says we speak wisdom. We speak the wisdom of God in the mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. So this hidden wisdom was God's original intention. So the things that God hid, he did not hide them from you, but he hid them for you. Please help me tell your neighbor. God did not hide these things from you, but he hid them for you. Now, this scripture makes us to understand that the reason for which God hid these things is for your glory, is for your advantage. It is the glory of God, the Bible says, to conceal a thing. That's God's nature. He likes hiding things. He is glorified when he conceals a matter. And it is the honor of kings to search it out. And if you understand our status in the new covenant is the status of a king priest. And part of our duties is to ensure that we can search into the things of God. If you have ever seen a typical kingdom situation and a letter is written, it is addressed to somebody. In order for us to know that it was not a forgery, in order for us to know that it was not a counterfeit, in order for us to know that it's authentic, what happens is that the king uses his seal and puts it on the letter. That shows that it is a secret letter. The content should not be commonplace. The content can only be revealed to him to which it is addressed. So if you are not the one to which the letter is addressed, it is sacrilege for you to attempt to break a seal of a letter that is not yours. You need to be the one that the letter is addressed to for you to break that seal without consequence. Are you still with me? So, you see, the context here, if you check the scriptures, the shape of the realm of God is the shape of a kingdom. Because God is not a president. He's not a prime minister. He's not a chancellor. He's a king. If you have not yet perceived God as a king, a ruler, someone that rules from eternity past, he is ruling at present, and he will still be ruling in the days to come. I don't have time to transgress, to trespass, and go into some scriptures and show you the status of God. You have not known God if you have not perceived him as a ruler. That's why when you pray, your activity of prayer, if it's not streamlined by the will of God, which is enshrined in the Bible, is a futility, it's an act in futility. Because he can only respond to things that are within the scope of his will. Because what is running is not management, it's kingdom. Are you with me? All right. So these terminologies used here, the metaphors used here, the registers used here are registers that are found within the context of a kingdom setting. And in a kingdom, we cannot do without a seal. I'll try to explain to us what a seal is. You see, the ring of a king is not a decorative accessory. The ring of a king is actually contains a seal. The design that is on the head of the ring is the seal of the government. And so when the ink horn that is used to seal up a letter is poured on the letter, then it is the king's ring that is used to seal it. So the implication of ring in a kingdom context is different from, if I'm not so good in keeping rings anyway. Because the first time I resolved to wear one. People said I was using it to do miracles. That my ancestors are herbalists. And that ring came from a strange place. Even when I stopped wearing it, they say I've swallowed it. It's now more poison. So I've not been good with rings. But in the kingdom context, rings are critically significant because they bear the imprint of the kingdom seal. Second thing I need to say about a seal is that seals are items that only exist in the original. You know, we have so many formats and forms through which we can duplicate things these days. But there are some things that only exist in the original, one of which is the seal. In view of the above, you can understand the scripture in the book of, is it 2 Timothy chapter 2, where the Bible says, now the foundation of the Lord standeth sure. Then he now made a statement, he said, having this seal, take notice of this seal. And you know, I told you that seals are things that only exist how? Well, my class is not ready. Okay, so we'll leave. We'll leave it. Don't worry. When you are ready for, I labored in the wilderness, and labored under the mighty hand of God for the spirit of wisdom and revelation to come to me through the mercy of God. You are in an air-conditioned room. Hallelujah. And when we are trying to dispense, you say, this guy is just all right. So you will have your own experience before you. Yeah. So let's go back to my scripture. You are not interested in my delivery. The Bible says we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. So the reason for which the things are hidden is that they are hidden for our advantage. They are hidden for our glory, for our promotion. They are hidden for our exaltation. So there is a principle of secrecy that operates in the kingdom of God. And it happens to be that unto us it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Are you still with me? You see, that's why, if you know what I'm talking about, Jesus is the all in all. Yes, if you know what I'm talking about. Once upon a time, I was in the place of prayer. It was on the 1st of January. And I called my family together. We held hands and began to pray in the spirit, thanking God that we had crossed over to a new year for the privileges that he had given us in the previous year. And all of that, we were just praying, not asking for anything, just praying. And suddenly the Holy Spirit speaks to me. He gave me an instruction. He said, give me 100,000 naira every month. He didn't say, and I will do this. He just said, you would have loved it if there was a consequence. He said, give me 100,000. Then my salary was 330,000. And he was asking for 100. And I know my household. How many were we then? Were like 8 individuals then. 8 individuals, including my wife. And 250,000 naira plus our offerings, our fuels, and all the other things that we need to do, the NEPA bill, was not enough to take care of 8 people the way I would want to take care of them. So now I touched my wife. I said, God just spoke now. He said we should give him 100,000. I said, okay, that's all right. I said, how do you know it's God that spoke? He said, God will not say you should go and win. So, devil, the Satan, the evil spirit will not say you should go and win souls for God. And they will also not say you should give money to God. I said, okay. That's encouraging. So we accepted to make that contribution as a family. That instruction that God gave me was the instruction that led me out of poverty. You see, it was sealed. You're not with me. You see, that instruction he gave me existed in heaven. But I did not have access to it because it was sealed. There was something we did that made the seal to break. And the moment that wisdom that was secured before the foundation of the world to take us out of poverty came, we no longer had to battle the demons of poverty. Because that wisdom that God gave considered all the demons of poverty before God gave it. The wisdom has more muscle than the spirits that of penury and poverty. So God had put your life on the scale, and there are wisdoms that God has crystallized, but they are sealed in glory. And he's saying, the reason for which I classified these things is not because I wanted to hide something from you. I want to hide something for you. Something that is not accessible to the kingdom of darkness. And if you access those sealed things and begin to walk in them, whether the devil hates you so much, he cannot tamper with the outcome of what we find expression when you are operating at that level of wisdom. That was my exit from poverty. I don't need to tell you all the other stories. Okay, maybe I need to tell you to help somebody's faith. So we accepted as a family that we were going to be giving 100,000. Because of the request God made, even though without my salary, I could rent a big, better house. Do you understand that? That time, many years ago, 330,000 was big money. And I could rent a very massive house that had a fence and a gate, and I'll be in my own personal compound. But because of the request God was making, the only place we found a house that could take up rent that would make it possible for us to obey God was in Wadata. How many of you know Wadata? Okay. I have stayed there before. When I was in Wadata, I was on TV, on NTA, and somebody saw me and said, "You look like someone that preaches on NTA. But that person cannot stay here." So I now told him, "When you find the person, let me know." The reason why I was in Wadata, and I was in Wadata for 4 years, the reason was because the Lord said I should give him 100,000. And when I obeyed, that was my exit. You know, when he gave me the instruction, he didn't add, "When you do this, then I will do." Because God is not a money doubler. Many of you come before God with a Japanese calculator to calculate first the outcome before you are willing to register obedience. If you are a watchman that is entering into the realm of God, you will meet sealed things. And I need to tell you the economy of sealed things. That your life, the way it is currently constituted, is not God's fault. It's a reflection of your obedience to God. The best things in the kingdom of God will not be available for carnal believers. But such believers that are willing to pay the price and to sacrifice to serve the will of God. You will never be good enough to come to a point where God can give you his best as a carnal believer. It is when you come to that point where you are living to serve the will of God, you will find secret. There are secret things that God has ordained to support you, but you are not aware now. Meanwhile, I was a carnal believer at some point, and I felt we could use the metrics of human wisdom. You see, the scriptures already foretold that the wisdom of man, the wisdom of the princes of this world, will come to naught. To come to naught. So it's not as if I didn't try with my strength. I met with failure. Then I was now willing to say, okay, Lord, how do you want us to do it? The nature of the fallen man that is in you will not want you to obey God without an experience of defeat. It's part of the dealing that God puts in place to defeat your human wisdom. No man follows, submits to God naturally. It's only men that have been conquered that will submit. And God has machinations in his armory that will defeat your wisdom. Some of you believe that you have an advantage because you were born into a certain family. Oh my. I was born into such a family. And the person that gave my family the name it had, that person died when I was in the university. Sometimes, some people will have to live your life in order for you to smell the coffee and wake up. That the options are not many. It's either Jehovah comes through for you or you will labor in the wilderness. So when those realities began to look me in the face, I had to focus on God more meticulously because that was the only stronghold that I had left in this world. Some of you have not yet arrived at that point. You still have options. Your uncle is a senator. You can still go there. He'll give you 1 million. You come out. If God wants to help you, your uncle will lose election. Your stronghold will dry up. But you know what? I say this with great hope because God planned for your coming. He kept something secret for you. And if you can tap into only one of them, you will know there is no need to be carnal. Stay with me and stay tuned as we journey. Next verse. It says, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. So that one of those capsules of wisdom was what played out in the case of Jesus. Because the princes of this world thought that if they kill him, they will stop the embarrassment that they were receiving from him. Because everywhere he went, the shackles, chains of the devil broke. And the only thing the devil felt was that we need to put this guy out of business. The humiliation is too much and it's making people hope in God. And unfortunately for the devil, he thought he killed him, but he only set him free. Today, if you as much as believe in him, he possesses your heart. When that seed that death could not hold captive grows in your vessel, you'll be as much a trouble as Jesus was when he physically was this world. So what the devil did was that he gave Jesus the opportunity to multiply himself. If he had known the secret, he would have allowed Jesus to be alive till today. Okay. Because it was the word that was made flesh. Jesus wouldn't have died. Maybe he would be in your village preaching. If Satan had known. So there are many things that the princes of this world do not know, for which the Bible is full of the miscalculations of the enemy. If only you walk in the economy of sealed things, the things that God kept secret, which scripture says, those secret things, it is given unto us to know. For the Bible says, unto you, unto me, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. When you see a man walking in righteousness, a man not manipulating anything, and things are working for the man, he has access to secrets. Because in the natural, it looks like the guy that is cutting corners runs faster than the righteous man. Oh, you're not with me. I came to tell you that you can win by righteousness. But you need to understand the layer, how to interface with this divine layer. the support system that God has made available to ensure that your life does not waste. Satan is not that strong. He's only strong around carnal men. Men that will fail to keep their watches. Men that will fail to press into the realm of the Spirit. Hallelujah. You will always be short of what is needed as a carnal man to access the things that make for your salvation in the kingdom of God. So I threw the towel. I said, I'm going to journey with God. Until I find him, I will be searching. And thank God those days we had no GSM phones, nobody to call you. So life was straightforward, no distraction. Do you know how many calls entered my phone? If I had picked all of them, I'll be an unbeliever by now. Sometimes you need to throw that phone away